Okay, so what do we say? Let's say briefly. Havel Abamu was the first pasuk, right? We're going to go to the very first pasuk, the last instruction. Okay? So where do we leave off with you, remember? Remember?
Second pasuk.
Yeah.
It's Havel Shel Havelim, right? Havel Shel Havelim. Because the Havelim themselves are the physical pleasure.
Right, because it's...
And that the Havel is the fantasy of the pleasure itself.
Right, and we said that came about. We said that came about when Adam Rishon sinned. That before that it was only the momentary pleasure.
That's right. Later, because of Adam Rishon sinned, okay, that's the reason why. What he mentioned in specific was he gave an example. Like for example, a person is looking forward to getting a certain thing. They want to get a certain watch or a bike, whatever it might be. You know, whatever it's been, car, whatever it might be. Different levels, of choice, but basically the same idea. So the point is this: that the person always imagines, well, when I get this thing, wow, it will be tremendous, you know? Yeah. And he waits, and he thinks about it, and then he's driving, you know, he can't take the weight, he finally gets it, right? But once the man gets it, you can see that after a while, he forgets about it. That's the case, you know? Ah, what happened to all the imagination, all the fantasy over there? So they said that there's two things. There's the physical pleasure, and there's a fantasy concerning the physical pleasure, right? That's why it's Havel Shel Havelim. Because the physical pleasure itself is empty. But not only is physical pleasure empty, it is a fantasy that's emptier. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because the fantasy is an imagination, and the guy strives for the imagination. See? That is it. So the thing is, we said that this is the instructive possible to tell us. Why does this really, the person can't break through that fantasy. Most people don't break through that fantasy all their lives. They just go from one thing to the next. You know
isn't
what I mean?
That pain?
Why? Fantasy has to be pain. Why is the fantasy pain?
Because you don't have it.
Because the guy was happy with fantasy, so then he would just stop there. He wouldn't be going on the reality. But since the man keeps on going to the reality, so apparently he's not happy with the fantasy. So he must be in a state of pain. When a person wants something and he's missing something, the pain is in a state of desire.
He may be happy, but he just made up his fantasy.
So if you're not happy,
you're not happy.
Alright, something's alright.
Alright, so we got that. That's what we said in Havel. I'm just going through briefly. Okay, we can't stop at every point again. I'll be here all year. Next case. Pasuk Gimel. My Yisrael La'odam. This one mentioned the mirages, right? The mirages, there are two types of mirages. There are physical mirages, and there are mirages of the soul. See? The physical, and they both have the same cause. When the guy's in the desert, and he really thirsts and wants water, so he imagines that he sees water. See? Why? Because there's a tremendous desire to have that object. Once you have a tremendous desire, so even your senses will become cooler. Okay? So he said the same thing exists insofar as the soul is concerned. That when a person has a tremendous desire to have something, because he has a lot of energy and he wants to be satisfied. So even though in reality it's not there, he'll build it up in his mind and make it there because he has to have that thing. Okay? But once he gets there, it's like the guy that gets to the mirage. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He makes himself up another mirage. So there are mirages of the soul, mirages of the soul, mirages of the body. Mirage of the soul? The guy thinks that the pleasure is over there. This thing's going to give me the pleasure.
Oh.
Convinced that this is it. The mirage. And when he gets there, somewhere it didn't give him the same satisfaction. You imagine it, the eternal satisfaction. Right? We broke it down what the mistake is. The mistake was that a person always can estimate the qualitative factor, but not the quantitative. See, in enjoyment, there's two things. There's the quality of the enjoyment, and there's the quantity. In other words, a person thinks that when a person thinks of a new object, a new toy, a new whatever it might be, this new thing, he always thinks of how it would be the second of getting it. His mind is always related to that second. First enjoyment,
the quality.
But he never thinks about what about the wear and loss effect? The wear and loss effect, this thing has a certain amount of time. That doesn't enter his mind until he has it. Reality is the only thing that takes over there. But in his mind, he's always fixed. His mind is fixed to that one point. The point, the first point, the quality of it. But you can't imagine the quantitative factor. After a while, you get used to it, it's nothing.
So then you don't have to develop for it anymore.
Right.
So what? You're not missing anything anymore.
The only thing he's missing is, why did he stop the fantasy?
You're right. It's still at that point. At that point.
Then he has to set the next one. Because since he has a need to satisfy the pleasures, now he has to have a set of next fantasy.
All right, but that other fantasy really wasn't lacking anything. As far as he's concerned right now. Right now, because he's not lacking anything. Because if he's lacking anything, he'd have
he's lacking one thing, he's lacking satisfaction.
That's the end result. But it's not, as far as he's concerned, it's far, you know.
But that's for a second. Fantasizing, you're in pain, right? And the second after you get it, you know, nothing to this. You're also in pain.
You're talking about when he gets to the essence of it, or you're talking about after?
No, after everything is gone, right? And he has no more desire for it, right?
For it, but now he has something else.
All right, but he has no more desire for it, right? Oh, you're saying
so you see
that
something
else. We'll see, we'll get into it later. We're going to go through that.
Why do you call it mirage of the sun?
Mirage of the sun?
Yeah.
Why do I call it that? Yeah. Because it's the same phenomenon. It's where you project something onto reality that doesn't exist. What is a mirage? A mirage is when you project something onto reality that doesn't exist. Isn't that different from a mirage?
Yeah, but I don't see why you call it of the soul.
Oh, because it's not of... In other words, like this. There's a mirage in the physical world, you see, where he thinks that there's something is there when it's not, a total distortion of the senses, you see, and then there's a mirage which isn't a distortion of the senses, it's a distortion of the emotions.
But that, well, how is that, that's not
I don't
soul,
mean soul, right? I don't mean soul. In the psyche.
Can you give an example of mirage of soul?
I don't mean real soul. Mirage of soul?
Example,
yeah. Mirage of psyche is a better word, he's right. Psyche is better than soul, but soul you think you mean the real soul. Not the real soul. Okay. Example. Mirage of the psyche. Example I gave before. The guy thinks, the man thinks he's gets married, he's working very hard, he wants to buy a home. Right? Now he imagines that when he gets this home, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world. Have this home while he's going, you know, really enjoy it. He just pictures himself for the next 50 years enjoying that home. See? Enjoying that car. You know, this is going to be the thing. Once he has this, that's it. All I want is this. That's it. That's where the person is fulfilled. But then, and he thinks that this thing is going to give him a tremendous satisfaction. But once he gets there, he finds after a while, I mean, he gets goodbye, you know, gets used to it, it doesn't satisfy him, he's out again.
Is it ever the case that man will project the qualitative enjoyment and realize that later on it'll wear off anyway, but still he's doing this, was it to have that person?
I can't do that. See, that's total conflict. In other words, the guy is a person, a smart person, he's intelligent. And what's an intelligent person? An intelligent person is a person that draws universal principle from his experience. You see, the difference between knowledge and not knowledge is that not knowledge just sticks to incidents. Okay? Like, for instance, a person sees different phenomena. So, to an ignorant person, it's two separate things. But a Chacham Chacham says, one second, these two things are related. There's one principle here. That's the Chachma. Chachma is unifying phenomena, showing the relationship between different phenomena. Now, the same thing in life. That's what people a lot of times say. They say, well, you know, you haven't had enough experience. Now, experience is a very necessary thing. But just because a person has experience does not mean that he necessarily has knowledge and intelligence. Because the question is what he does with his experience. Okay? In other words, a person, I mean, when the Ramban was 15 years old, he had more intelligence than a person today that's in 70, right? Why? He had less experience. But the point is, he didn't, in the experiences that he had, he was able to derive so much that the individuals who have much, much more experiences than him, I mean, they simply couldn't, they don't get anything out of it. It's like you take a person who's a scientist, you put him in a laboratory. So, you could take five phenomena, six phenomena, you'll relate them right away. He might be a beginning scientist, but he will have immediately more knowledge than the clerk that's working there for 40 years setting up the experiments. Because this guy that's setting up the experiments, he might know a lot of facts, but he doesn't understand anything, doesn't understand how it works, doesn't see the interrelationship. The same thing in life. The only mistake people make is that for some reason people in life assume that life is something you don't have to examine. Life is an automatic thing. Just go along, keep going your way. They don't realize that life requires the same application of Chachma. The person wants to live correctly, wants to live the best life, then he has to apply the same chachma that he uses in every area of science and every area of knowledge, in every area of chachma. You see? Just like a guy learns to taste this, a guy has to be able to learn life. And if he can't do that, then he's going to miss it. Just like a guy could never be a London if he doesn't know how to learn taste this, right? Can't learn through Gemara. He might have a lot of facts, but he will not understand it. You see? This, in the same manner, a person who doesn't really apply his knowledge to life will never be able to have the, you know, just like one guy can't paskin shalah, the other guy can't know how to live. Okay? An impossibility. The only thing is that in life people think somehow or other it's a natural thing. Just keep going, you must be fine, naturally find it. That's the mistake. See, that's why you have mishleiter to have galus. But that's where they examine it, and they show you what the mistake, they show you what the idea is, what the impossibility is. So the point is, the average person never reflects on himself. He just goes like, he sees once before, he wanted something for his tremendous, and it wasn't tremendous. Next time, wants it again, huh? Keeps going. But a person who's a chacham, he analyzes it, just like, what's happening today? How come before I was fooled? What's going on over here? You see? So I'll sit down, I'll start working it out, I'll say, I see what it was. My mind only saw the qualitative aspect, didn't see the quantitative. Next time I'm gonna notice that. If he does that, the next time he will not be drawn anymore. If he's the drawer, is gonna be very weak, it's gonna be knocked down. So if I think about, why are we trying to, 1 second, how would I feel after having that thing for 5 years? Probably will be in my closet, I want to look at it. Yeah, that's it. See? That's the thing. That's the difference. But that's a chacham. That's a person who does that is on a tremendous Torah Madrega already. But this is the man that's thinking. Most people just live their lives one step above the instinct. A little bit above the instinctual. They use a rationale or a reason, but they don't really sit down and clarify principles of life. Yes, it's a person, maybe you don't have any principles of life. Just, this is right and that's right, to this or that, it's different around the rule. But very seldom do you find an individual that really has principles of how to live. It's just a chacham. The person does that is on high level. Yes? High level means bizman is up.
You said that certain people in the Mirage could dull senses.
Could distort the senses.
Yeah, could distort the senses. So therefore...
And this Mirage is what the...
So therefore Mirage could distort the
mind.
Therefore, so a person like that can't prove anything. So.
A person can't be different from the Mirage?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did have a hard time.
Yeah, because all the senses are...
That's a psychotic.
But the phenomenon of psychosis is not only to be found in a sick person. Even now, the person who's under tremendous strain, emotional strain, if he's starving or he's dying at first, it'll happen to him too. Okay? And I think that the psychotic it happens to was much, much less strain. Okay? That's the difference. For some reason, his mind is so disoriented that a little less strain will cause immediately a hallucination. You know what I mean? Okay? That's the difference. But the basic thing is in everybody. It's not simply a thing that's only found in the psychotic. Okay? And as far as life is concerned, you have many psychotics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first part. Now the next one is like this. Now it goes to a breakdown. That's like an introduction. Next we go to a breakdown. What benefit does man have? What extra? This one is extra. What extra does man have in all the work that he works under the sun? So immediately we ask the question. Why does he need extra? Why don't you say, what do you mean extra? A guy works, he gets his pay. What's the extra? What does he need extra for? So what do we say?
He doesn't work for the pay. He works for what he gets out.
Very good. Here tells you laying down a principle. Turn off laying down a principle. He's telling you a psychological truism. Namely, that no man works for the just reward. Okay? A person doesn't work for $200 a week. Nah. He works for the fantasy of $200 a week. For the extra. If it wasn't the extra, if he really saw reality, exactly what he's going to get out of it, it couldn't work. The umol, the thing that causes a person, I'm not talking about a lazy guy stuff doesn't learn. I'm talking about a guy that really is involved in work, a guy that goes and really goes, gets out there and really wants to do something, wants to accomplish something. Okay? So the reason why he works, the umol, is only because of that extra. See, because of the tremendous,
what's that extra?
That extra is just in his mind. That extra is the fantasy.
Yeah. Extra amount of time.
The extra is $20. The fantasy is attached to the thing, not the reality. Okay? So Shlomoh says that the truth is, that's the truth. My Yisrael Adam, what extra does he have with all the work that we're trying to find? There is no extra.
What do you mean looking for extra?
But the $200 doesn't attract him really. It's the fantasy that he...
That is why.
Why should he attach to the fantasy?
I'll give an example of one guy. I think it's universal principle. Like a friend of mine, he was really an exaggerated example, but it's a good example. I'm sure he wasn't such a rare case, but he's an honest guy, so he admitted, you know. Tell me, he says that the end of the week, he says he takes his money and he puts it right in the bank, you know. And he says, and every now and then, he takes out his bank book, you know. And I looks at it. And he says, look at that, $5,000. $5,000, what could I do with $5,000? I start thinking about it and go here and over here and you know all these other things. Then, of course, the next week it takes the over the 3 hours, put the letter in the bank again. Next month, it takes about $6,000. Wow. And this is what he does. This is what a guy spends years. Yeah. What's the job? What's the job? The point is, he wasn't working. That man wasn't working for $200. So he was working for the fantasy.
$200
for fantasy. That's right. The fantasy, okay? Not the reality. If he really saw the reality of what he's going to do with that money, all probability, I mean, he didn't go to work. Probably he'll have it, the bank and he'll die in a civil user. But then I blow it in 1 month, so that'll be the end of the whole thing. Every guy's
school. Once he uses the money, then there's no more pleasure anymore.
Yeah, see, the thing, that's right. He doesn't look, it's not a realistic thing.
It's like a soft
not a realistic thing.
Let's say God.
Not reality, that's in my concern. A person works in a proportion to the work that he puts in, you see, the amount of effort he puts in, you think is tremendous. That effort would justify a tremendous return. The return that he thinks, that he imagines, that kind of thing. That's kind of thing. But he doesn't get it.
I'm a farmer. We'll say a farmer just works for himself. Then he hasn't
had any faith. Like that. That's not, I'm away. That's not the person I'm talking about. That guy's a dull guy. There are guys like that. There's a lazy guy, too. What about a lazy guy? A lazy guy doesn't know anything. That's not what he's talking about.
In other words, a lot of people wouldn't work. They would just get food and the clothing and cars and things. It was only once a lipstick had fixed on that.
That's right. A lot of people wouldn't work if you just tell them that this is what you're going to have. What do you want? You want a car? Here's a car. Okay. And I go with it. That would do it. Because he doesn't have a fixed with all sentences. That's the whole thing in Canada. It's very hard thing. But they just wanted to have a lot of time. But the people don't have any fixes anymore. It's just, you just get your little thing, your little bread and butter, and then that's it. They have to put in a tremendous amount of work. That's our system. So that's the thing. That's why most people can't take that.
Is it kind of
now there are people that like a lazy guy, like I mentioned before, a guy that just doesn't do anything, you know, but that's not my issue, that's not my life. That person usually it's not because he's such a chacham. Usually it's not because he's so smart that he does that. It's usually something wrong with him psychologically that prevents him from being the level of fantasy. You know what I mean? He just has weak emotions. It's not that he has
rationale.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You do find among the people once in a while you find the chacham. You know, it's a rarity, but every now and then you do see it. Like that's how you probably started the argument. Remember the story of the argument?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. That Alexander the Great, there's a man of my life, right? That kind of a world, the whole civilized world. So one time he went over to the argument. The argument was a prosper.
Out the window.
So one of them says,
"Oh, you're okay."
Says, "What do you want? Anything you want, I'll give you." So he says, "Move out of the way, blocking the sun."
Right.
Okay. That's the guy that's a chacham. So that's not the. Now, what was that? Was the biggest blow to him? Why was it the big blow to Aristotle? Biggest
blow. He was such a chacham. One made a political mistake, I guess.
Yes. But what is the new era? It wasn't talking. Why?
Yeah, the guy there killed him.
Nah, he was gone. Anyway. So, the thing is that, why is that such a tremendous amount of Aristotle? Why?
Alexander.
Why?
Because he treasured
the deep down he knows that it's
worth
nothing. So he knows he has no proof. Tremendous conquest, conquer the world.
What?
What does it mean? Can you do that? That's a value. In your mind, you imagine that.
What pleasure?
Do you really prove that this worth anything? I say you wasted your life. You wasted your time. Just worked for nothing. Now, deep down, Alexander the Great knows, all these guys, they know that there's no real proof. It's just an emotion that drives them. You see? But they never inspect that emotion. They use their intelligence to inspect everything else. The guy will go into a battlefield, greatest genius, work out the strategy, brilliant. But the strategy of why he's going to the battlefield, that he won't do. Okay. So that's the Pergeles. Godel Kaizeshis Yitzhak, Melech Ayel. What's his name? It's greater for a guy to conquer his inner emotion, to get to heart, than it is to capture a city. That's the analogy. Okay. That's a good thing. I mean, who says so? I mean, sometimes a guy has a little temptation and you overcome it, but to capture a city could be hard. Depends on the temptation, depends on the thing. What kind of a comparison, right? Not every case, though. Somebody's hard to do. God wants to smoke the cigarette. I'm going to smoke the cigarette.
So I think it's hard.
Is
it harder?
Greater
accomplishment.
Yeah, it's harder than, is that greater? Why is that greater?
Because it means something.
It'll help you with the Lord Vajra's concerns.
It's
a benefit.
Oh, it's necessarily overcoming the fantasy.
See, that may be harder to do to.
It's a benefit. It's a benefit.
But what good? What good is it? Let's say.
It's harder to do. It's a benefit. Oh, that's if he's not, if he didn't conquer their emotions. If he did not conquer their emotions.
But they're comparing the analogy just to capturing the city, per se, not the So they're just saying capturing the city, per se, means nothing. I mean, if you're going to then...
That's not what they're saying.
But why do they compare it to that?
Yeah, why should they compare it? The answer to what they're saying is like this. A very deep word. The idea is like this. Now most people, when they're unhappy, they will say the reason that they're unhappy is in reality. They usually don't want to say the reason they're internal. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what I'm saying to the person. The person sees, unhappy, why am I unhappy? And it shows, my salary isn't big enough. That's right. The situation. I'm not happy here because I don't like my English studies here. Yeah? Or whatever it is. You know, that might be a thousand reasons, you know? If I was able to learn all day, I'd really be happy. Sometimes it's true, but it depends. Sometimes I got fooled myself. The point is, it might be so, it might not be so. You have to really know. But the point is that the person will usually not try to find the thing that's wrong in himself. They'll usually try to explain the external situation. That's why I see people where they go from one situation to another, sometimes the guy leaves the yeshiva. If you ask me the yeshiva, there's something wrong with me. He still goes another day. He doesn't have a yeshiva. He goes another yeshiva. He's seen some months later. He's just unhappy. If he doesn't realize that he's taking the problem along with him in his pocket. And wherever he goes, that problem's going to be. What's the chat? The chat is that instead of analyzing the inner problem, okay, he brings on the external. That's the same thing. That's lochidia. Lochidia means the guy's unhappy. He says, I'm unhappy now. Gotta get another city. Another conquest. Then I'll be happy. See? If you take a look at himself and you see what the real reason for his unhappiness is, why do you have to go conquer? What's the problem there? Maybe if you conquer that emotion, you wouldn't have to go around conquering so many cities. Okay? Then, that's why it's better. See, then you'd be happy. But the fact is that people don't do that.
What is the case where he actually used the city to learn? I mean,
yeah, that's why it's not talking about that. It's talking about... The marshal is... So like I said about Alexander the Great, the guy will go and plan and use tremendous intellect and how to conquer the army. He'll be successful. He's a brilliant, general. But the point is, why do you have to do that? Why do you want to do that? It's a matter of mental energy going into this thing. But if you use that mental energy to analyze this, you might find you wouldn't have to do that. See, that's bad news. Yeah, it's very great. But you think it's good, right? I think sunshine is greater. What way? Okay. That's my Yitzhak Lodam. Next pasuk. Do harlech v'do bo horis lel mamad. Right? Do harlech v'do bo horis lel mamad. What does it mean? I'm just telling you there's a cycle here. Everybody knows this. Generation goes, generation comes.
You should realize that you're going to be replaced later on. You shouldn't think that you're going to be, always continue on. There's going to be a certain time when another generation is going to replace you. So whatever you're achieving in this generation is going to be gone.
Maybe he's trying to say it's going away.
Let's take a look at. By the way, Chazal say also. Beautiful Chazal. Chazal say. Any other mitzvah in the olam, the chatzi taivasa together. Person doesn't leave this world with one half of the taiva in his hand. The fantasy always, by far, exceeds
reality.
Any other mitzvah in the olam, person does not pass away from this world, the chatzi taivasa together, and half of the taiva in his hand. A person could be a president of the United States, the philosopher is thinking that he's the greatest president in the world that ever was. Right? Possible, but a guy can't be an American, I think, in today. It's too far away. Right? A person has to have some bit of reality to fool himself. What is that illness? Because that illness is the ego, the overestimation of the self. A person shouldn't overestimate self tremendously. The illness is why there is an illness, because he can't see straight. He can't give an objective evaluation of himself. See? Now the point is like this. He says that it's even worse in people who are professionals who reach a certain degree in their field. You see? He says, let's say for instance, he's talking about a guy that, what's his name? Very famous physician.
Hippocrates?
Galen was a great physician. There's a lot of parts of the body are named after him, you know, because he was one of the first, after Hippocrates, he was the next good man in line, next good physician that the world had. And he advanced beyond Aristotle, and Hippocrates beyond the Greeks in medicine. But Galen started going to philosophy, and he thought he was a tremendous philosopher. You know, a lot of people accepted him as Galen's a great genius, you know? So the Rambam says the man was totally disordered in philosophy, he had no idea what he was talking about. And the Rambam proceeds to show some of the things that he said, and shows you. Meaning obey, Stephen, and everything he's talking about. But he says that since the man achieved fame in one area, so then he was able to allow this human disorder to really go wild. See, the person is knocked down, he's doing nothing. So the human disorder can't get out of hand. Okay? But once he reaches a certain peak, then it does. That's why a lot of people say, they were such nice people before they got wealthy, but now you can't talk to them anymore. You don't believe what happened to him. People always talk about that phenomenon, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They say, some guy said, look, I just hope, one guy told me this years matter, one of the parents of high school. He said, Rabbi, look, I just hope one thing, that if I ever get wealthy, I don't lose myself like these other people do and go crazy. You know, like they think they're the greatest people in the world. So what's the shot? Why does this happen? It's not that the guy, when he's poor, he was a good guy, and now he's not, and it's not that the other guy that's poor is any better than him.
The point is
they both have a desire to really imagine
to bring out
great, the
emotion.
But the point is, one guy's more reality. When a guy's reality is a wealthy guy, he sees people come in and say, well, how are you, sir? I'm doing this stuff.
If the guy has 20 years to live, he still sees it in reality that he has to die.
Yeah, within reality.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
somebody
if you deal with reality, I mean...
It's not within the framework of the emotional reality.
That would mean more
emotional reality.
Let's say a guy's 20 years old. So he lived from 20 to 40. I mean, he knows what 20 years is.
Go on.
So, I mean, honestly, it's not his conception that what 20 years is.
A guy who really sits down and thinks about it.
You can't copy 20 years in one second.
No, but a guy who really sits down and thinks about it.
Next year, it feels like you've been in school forever already.
In other words, you work on one day at a time.
It feels like 2 months is forever, right?
The older you get,
you figure 20 years.
See, the older you get,
because the proportion of every year is less.
Yeah. See, I think there's another interesting thing. People will say, life goes by so fast.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I said, what do you mean about it? Do you know how quickly life is going to go? And why all of a sudden do you become such a couple? The answer is like this. The answer is when you're young, when you're 20, or you're 15, you see, you look ahead, you figure 15 years, boy, that's a long time. It's out of your guess from reality. But once you get to be 30, you look back. So you actually live through it, right? So it was a reality. See, now your imagination wasn't in line with that reality of 15 years. Because to you, 15 years was, oh, that was that long. And I said, boy, it went so fast. What do you mean it went fast? It went fast in accordance with your imagination, the way you imagined how you
years
there, right. That's what people say it's fast. Not fast, not slow. It depends on how you look at it. A realistic person wouldn't see it fast. A realistic person would say, well, exactly. The last 5 years was this much. 25 years was that much. 5 years, that's it. Okay. An average guy can't do that. He can't multiply 5 years times 10 and get 50.
It really wouldn't get
50 is like a new thing. Who knows? That's way up.
Really, it's really when you get older. When you get older, we say that.
It's the
difference between 10 and 15 or 15 and 20. is
gets smaller.
Is much more than the difference between 55 and 60 was, because 55 to 60 is a much less percentage of your life.
That's right, so when he's 55 he's in reality of no more 55 years, then five more years, whereas 5 years when you're 15 is a third of your life, so
someone guarantees you live to 110,
you haven't had so much, you've only lived 3-5 years.
That's why a person wants to be young. Why does a person want to be young? Because they're getting old. Why does a person want to be young?
Because you got more use
of it. When you're young,
because the reality,
you live with that fantasy. So when you're young, you live with that fantasy. You got 15 or 20. Live with
the
fantasy.
Then the reality, see?
When a guy gets older, that fantasy isn't there anymore. So he starts getting very depressed. That's what I said. And I see, like, he can't, there's a tremendous amount of energy that he has to really, you have to think he can live forever and enjoy himself and have all this, with all this tremendous pleasure. But he starts in the reality, he starts moving in, you know? And you can't have your fancy. That's why lots of young people are thinking, wow, I was hanging out in Florida. Another guy told me, I was young. He says, I didn't even think you thought of dying, this, that. So I would have been a good myself. Now I have 55 insurance policies and this and that, sickness and that. What kind of a life is this? Point is, because you can't get over the fence anymore.
That shouldn't really happen. You shouldn't be sad either. But that time
not
that's
for
all, that's
for
all house.
That's an emotion. That's an emotion. A chacham wouldn't do a chacham on the contrary.
Chazal say
that there's a difference between an amoret and a chacham. The Gemara says that ame ha'aretz kishen marzkinim daitam mitzurefes alayim. The amoret, when he gets older, his das becomes mitzurefes, disrupted. He becomes unnerved. He's not at peace anymore. That's mitzurefes, tear for das. It's shaky. But Talmidei Chachamim, Kishen Maskin, Talmidei Chachamim, when you go there again, Daitan Yushev Salayim. They become more and more secure, more and more calm. Okay. On the contrary, the whole lives that they live with that reality. And now they see the reality, and they reflect on life, and they see how they live, they know what life is, what it's worth, they don't live it, and they see the way they live with it. It's on the contrary, so they really see they're in line with reality. The other guy is not in line with reality, because he said all his life was fantasies, and now reality is closing in, so it's taking away everything that he had.
But shouldn't the guy look back on life and see what he missed?
What he missed? On the contrary. He didn't think he missed it at the time, and he doesn't think he misses it now. The only thing is, then he sees that he could have, but he sees that he could have missed it by following the fantasies of the other guys.
Yeah, but he could look at the other way and say, well, look how much Torah I missed.
Torah he missed? The person who looked like a chacham, the point is that every day he works on it, as a realistic human.
Yeah, but I will, you know, like...
Doesn't just always say, I missed this and missing that. It was also crazy. I was walking outside, I could have done something. Always feeling bad. He's always changing his mind. I should have done that. But a Chacham does this. Chacham knows. He plots his course. That's exactly what he's doing. So why should he feel bad? He did the right thing. That was it. Yeah. I could have learned more. Yeah, well, at that time he couldn't learn more because at that time he wasn't that perfected. So he did the right thing at the time. Maybe he became more perfected to learn more. I mean, it has to do with the framework of reality.
Yeah, but
you know, Rashi looks back at his lifetime and says he could learn more. I mean, it's absurd because the point is he knows he learned as much as he could. So on the contrary, he's happy with himself. The person is a real chacham. He knows exactly what he did. He's happy. That's also a crazy university. The guy walking out with it, I could run off
the road. Yeah, a lot of used to say that.
It's true because in the average guy, it really is a terrible thing.
No, I mean, not in the average. They were telling the stories about this guy and this guy.
That's not my story.
Okay.
Let's point the
So the thing is like this, that the average person, who feels, see, he looks at the world as being real now, during his lifetime. Okay? He can never look at himself as just one little generation in terms of the whole
he's the world.
Time. Mm-hmm. He's the world! He's the world. He looks at the world as dying with his death and being born with his birth. You understand what I mean? Okay. I keep on. When did the world start?
soon as he started looking. That's the world. Everything before those guys, dead guys. That's some past those guys. Right? Future.
Potential.
But no. So, but of the, but he himself, with his lifetime, so, that's the, this is really, this is the world, now, see, that's the point. So the fantasy is, really, his fantasy is exactly the opposite of the puzzle. He looks at it this way.
Really, that's what he looks
at. Va'aretz ha'lech, va'aretz bo, va'ani, v'dori, la'olam ha'lech. See, that's the way it is, that's the way the fantasy is. See, that's what Shlomo Bach says. Now, the reality, that's why I mentioned reality. The reality is in direct contrast to the fantasy. Don't have a dumb ball. What is your life? Your life is just one little part of a tremendous, tremendous...
Yeah, but according to him, I mean, what else is he supposed to think
time?
What?
Yeah, all right, you can think that, but as far as he's concerned, what?
Now you can think that. You should know that.
Yeah, all right, I mean, you should know it, but still, I mean...
Emotionally.
What?
Emotionally, you should know it. Not to feel it.
Yeah, you're right, but when he looks on it, he says, well, all I'm living is my life anyway. I mean, I'm not living in the past.
But your life isn't the scope of reality. Your life isn't the
no.
Reality. So the point is that the person can't take this reality. So he's mentioning like this, that there are two fantasies in life. First fantasy was the fantasy of God for pleasure. The second fantasy of possibility is the fantasy of immortality. The fantasy is that he will always exist. But the truth of the matter is, just exactly the opposite. So he mentions, that's what Shlomo mentions, this reality to refute, you understand, the fantasy.
That would be a good way to come to know if you're kind of.
Oh yeah, no question.
Then you realize how nothing you are.
That's why these guys, that's why these guys, these empire builders, you know, when they always
they want something for them.
Yeah. Guy's never going to say he's going to build up Rome. He's not going to just build up
I hope they have a statue of something to
remember. Go on! Forever statues! The Egyptians. What do they want? It's the same thing as modern man. No different.
Talk with your name on something.
Yeah, like Nixon wants. Like Texas for
eternity. Looking for that eternity. All these guys, society is going to last for the next 1,000 years. Third Reich, 1,000 years is going to last. You know, Third Reich. What was his... He's going on. And 1,000 years is not that. 1,000 years is out of reality. So therefore it's forever and ever.
What's an Arsenal
on Mars? Arsenal on means... That in terms of reality, he's just a little cog in the wheel of life. He's a little cog, but that he can't recognize. That's the problem. Two fantasies. Pasuk Gimel breaks down the fantasy of the what I call the breakdown of two fantasies. Gimel breaks down the fantasy of the pleasures. You see. Dalit breaks down the fantasy of the eternity. But there is a tie-in between those two fantasies, you know. It's not just two separate fantasies, they tie-in. Because you see that when a person realizes that his time is near to go, that's the end of the fantasy. When Pasuk Dalit comes,
he realizes there's no action.
Pasuk Gimel goes through. See? You gotta. It's basic. In other words, if the person, let's say a person knows he only has a week to live, the fantasy of the time is usually
there's no way extra.
That's why he thinks when he's close to die, he thinks about all the junk that he missed before.
Yeah, right.
And he can't have the extra thing. There's no extra on this week, I see.
You have to get back. I don't want to hold you. You have to get back somewhere.
No, I'm not concerned.
Okay.
I'm just concerned.
Well, okay, well.
Yeah.
How do you get on? Zarach Hashem, let's take this Rashi. And I really didn't work on this Rashi. Rashi is Boris Lelo Amores. Rashi means kind of Chazal. Because Mi Heim on the Skymen, Rashi is who are the ones that really live, that really exist, endure, who are the ones that really endure? The people who are humble, who are low, that they bowed down to the ground. See you atem eretz
chepetz.
That I can't understand.
The people back to the land done nothing more.
Every time when you see a chazal, it looks like there's something there to the pasuk, it means you don't understand the pasuk. There's nothing there to the pasuk. Okay, so how would you have this for him?
Life is very short. There's a question we have to ask him. What's the question we have to ask him? Ask him a question.
What?
Not why.
Yeah.
But the question is like this. Short is always a relative.
Right.
It's always related to something else. How can you say life is short? In comparison to what?
Of all the world, all the world, that's the comparison.
To what?
Forget
about that. There's a question. People come with, when a person makes a statement, it has to have some sense, right?
Okay.
Now, people always say, life is so short. You know, a guy gets older, he's 56, says, boy, life is so short.
So short
in comparison to what? I mean, how can you say short? Shortness is a relative. In other words, short, you have to compare with something else, right? Short's compared to long. You can't just have a short. If you have one thing, could it be short or long?
No.
It's impossible, right? So short must be in comparison to something else, correct? Okay, so therefore the question is, short in comparison to what? There's nothing else to compare it to. What's the answer? What is he comparing it to?
Fantasy of eternity.
That's right. He's comparing it to his fantasy of eternity, or how long he thought it would be. Follow? So really the statement has no basis in reality. But the statement is resulting from a psychological reality.
Well, it doesn't have to be that he, in comparison to his immortality, thought maybe, or maybe it could be that he thought, maybe he thought that each year would be longer than it.
Well, that's a fantasy.
That's a fantasy.
I know, I'm just saying.
Because why should you think that way? Isn't that a fantasy? Isn't that a fantasy?
We left off
with the Rashi.
Left with the Rashi, yeah.
Rashi? Okay. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know if I remember it.
Yeah, Rashi on Tachas HaShemesh. You're trying to figure out what it means. Tomorrow's Atar.
Oh, yeah, Tomorrow's Atar, yeah.
We're supposed to use that to figure out what
that was the Rashi, that was the
Pana.
So I don't really understand the Pana.
Brown was the Rashi in Dallas.
That's what Rashi in Dallas, right? What's it talking about? It says. It, all the Pasuk says is that one generation goes, one generation comes, and the land stands forever. Now Rashi throws in this thing, that who's going to live, I mean, it's really like he's pushing something that has no shachas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now some people maintain that that's the way he usually does things. But I say that's because they usually don't understand them, so therefore, well, I can't impress Rashi
today. Say that he was
in Nayach. It says over there, it says, "V'ata lo yibatzer mehem b'darf lag." V'ata lo yibatzer mehem kolos shigaz melasas. Right? He says, "Now they will not be prevented from doing what they were going to intend to do." Right?
Yeah.
So Rashi says over there, "Bitnia," because you see, in the next pasuk, God prevented them from doing it. Right? Saki is saying now they're not going to be prevented when they were prevented. So Rashi says, "Bitnia." So I asked the question. I said, "What do you mean? How could that be bitnia?" I said, "You see, with a bitnia in the Torah always has a hayashela." Right?
Yeah.
And
that's what?
Hey, Shela. Yeah. Like you have this week's in Lech Lecha. Hamachasa ani me Avram asher ani Eser.
Hayipalim
Hashem Davar. I said, hey, you can't just go around every pasuk and say it's bitnia. If you do that, it's a dangerous thing. You'll say like this. That's right. You'll say, Vashem ani Yisrael for Shabbos. Why is this a Shabbos that has some bris Eilam? Bitnia. I mean, it's ridiculous. Right? Ah. I said, the real pshat in the pasuk is like this. The real pshat in the pasuk is, v'ata lo yibatzim ha'im kol shi'ez melasos, it means that in their psychological state, they will not be prevented. In other words, nothing will stop them from completing what they intend to do.
Yeah.
So it's really read not bitnia. You understand? You follow? But why does Rashi say bitmiya? Because the pasuk has to be read in two senses over there. In one sense, it's what their psychological reality is.
Yeah.
That's not bitmiya, you see? In the other sense, in what the actual reality is. Their psychological reality was that va'ato, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like this. And now I see that they're on the level that lo yibatsu mehem kol ashiyaz molasas. Nothing will prevent them from carrying out what they want to do. And therefore we have to stop them. You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, what's the bit,
so that's why there's no Hei Ashela over there, because if it was Hei Ashela, it would mean that the it would only show one thing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't show that they were at the stake where nothing in the world would prevent them from going forth with their issues. You see? So the pasuk really has double meaning. That's what Rashi means. Okay. They can't just put in the Hei Ashela over there.
See, I wonder, what does Rashi mean? He was putting that into the pasuk that he's saying like this. That more generations come and go, right?
Yeah.
And the way to achieve the Aretz is who will last, and who is the one that remains of the generations that come and go, the Aretz. Because he learned.
No. Can't be bored. You see, what was the pshat we said in the pasuk?
That was comparing, you think you go on forever, right?
So really the pasuk is saying, it's denying the fact that you go on forever. So Rashi says, the denial is only insofar as the fantasy of the emotional fantasy is concerned. But he is not denying that there is a reality of going on. Do you understand what I mean?
Because the tzaddik really does
go on, because otherwise he'd be denying the eternity of the soul. You know what I mean? Hasharas HaNefesh, which is impossible. Follow me. Another word, I guess. Rashi's showing you, see, the way, what Rashi says fits in perfectly the way we learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Because otherwise the Pasuk is saying, Dor Lech Dor Bar Zalor Modus. It's not talking about the people. But we said that Dor Lech with Dor Bar Zalor Modus means like this. It means that it's a rejection of a fantasy. It's saying, you think the fantasy is that you're going to go on forever. The truth of the matter is that Dor Lech V'Dor Bar Zalor Modus, right? So, in other words, he thinks that he is the main thing and the earth is just the means for him, for his eternity. Truth of the matter is that he's just the means for the earth's eternity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So, for the eternity of species, you know what I mean? Eternity. Bar Zalor Modus means that each guy is just a little link in the chain, in the biological chain, right? So physically, he's just a little link. Right, Varth Lomaris means the species will keep on going. It's funny.
Inside joke.
Yeah. Wrong word, Linkus Noga? Okay. You understand what I mean?
So now
Rashi says that he don't think that he's denying the concept that there is an eternity of the neshama. He's denying the concept that there's an eternity of the fantasy. That eternity, that emotional eternity doesn't exist. That emotional eternity is a pure fantasy. He thinks that he's really the center, and he's just a biological.
So why did you pick another?
Right? Okay?
Yeah.
So Rashi says, but there has to be a remez. See, the derech of Torah Shebiksav is that there always is a remez in the Torah Shebiksav for the concept. You see? So Rashi says that remez is from Varoth Levon Lettuce. You know what I mean? Well, there has to be some remez there. That's Rashi just telling what the remez is. But the remez is tied in with the concept of the pasuk. You understand? It's not important where the remez is from. The important thing is that the remez is tied in with the concept of the pasuk. Because the concept of the pasuk is that there is the eternity that you think that exists does not exist. You see? But the remez is, there has to be a remez to tell you that he's not denying the eternity of the soul.
Rashi's quick what the denial was.
No, it's just the remez is it limits the denial.
In other words,
you have a certain fantasy that of eternity, right? Now the reality denies that the eternity.
Right.
There is another eternity.
That's right. See, the same thing in the before. My Yisrael, Lo Namachal Amalos Yamal Tachas Hashemesh. So Schleimel says that there is no value with all the work, the fancy that the guy has in his work, right? Right? There's nothing extra in all the thing that he does. Tachas Hashemesh, right?
Yeah. Oh.
So of course this is only speaking about what type of labor? What type of work?
Which is that? The one that's
Yisrael. Right, my Yisrael. There is no Yisrael, right?
Physical labor.
Only the physical. But in the other area there is, you see? So Rashi again says Tachas Hashemesh means anything you do instead of the Shemesh. That's the remez over there. Rashi shows you. Well,
yeah.
Okay. In other words, in every pasuk, there's what the Chazal know, that in every pasuk there's always Tashem Shad has to be read through Rebbe's also. That's one of the things. There's always an allusion to it. Huh? So the Pshat is that over here, in each case, the allusion is precisely for what the pasuk is defined to be. And how do we define Ma'ish and Ma'ish and Ma'ish and Ma'ish? That there's nothing extra, right?
Right,
which means what? That he gets a
zilch,
right? Ah. So the thing is, that's true. So that's true as far as the physical is concerned. You see? But there really is something extra. There really is something. See, man's emotion misleads him to think the extra's over there. There really is something extra. Which is?
The Tachas
Hashem clarifies. Tachas Hashem is over there to show that there's no Yisran anywhere else.
Clarifies.
That's exactly right. See?
Yeah.
And so that's the derech of Rashi.
I know. When we got through Rashi Chumash,
you know, these, right?
So, why is he still this? I know. Anything I could just push in there. You better have said, look, I don't understand Rashi.
I know. I mean, like the one about the first
Yeah, the one about the Afil Seder.
Because I just read
what
it
is.
Yeah, where was
it? Noach was the Rashi.
Yes, you know.
Elio was every single Rashi.
How do you learn that?
What?
How do you learn
that? Everyone watch Shadim?
He was a
Shadim. Separated.
Let's go. Depends on how you learn. The Ram interpreted metaphorically. Let's go. The Rashi and others, who's the author of Israel? The last Shadim that's been cited has been many years ago. Okay. Zohar HaShemesh, Avor HaShemesh. Go ahead. Somebody say it possible.
Zohar HaShemesh, Avor HaShemesh, Ram HaKom HaShalei, Zoreach HuSham. Translate.
Translate.
Pashup Shat. Shouldn't be good,
right? Nah. The sun shines. We'll let you off on Pashup Shat.
Alright, after I forget it, count me out. The sun shines. And it, Bashem should set, to its place, it, Shalef just begins, now it,
Shalef means?
Shon.
It's drawn. Attractive. That's the real word of Shalef.
That's where Shon is. The way after Shon.
That's where Shon again, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's it mean?
What's it mean? That's the question I'm asking. Yeah. Alright. I'll tell you what's in the chat. Let's see where it is.
It's
going on the dollar. Hold on, let's forget about Pazdal for a moment. It says the sun shines, rises.
What is the Shemesh? Is the Shemesh still sorrow?
No, that's it. You have to remember. All the Ramazim
are only that.
First, you got to get. See, the Ebenezer really is the one that clarifies this. If you take a look. It's a devil pasha. I mean, it's something that I think anyone's basechol. You know, it's about limitary, so it has to be that way. But I saw it this summer openly in the Evan Ezra. He has like Dhamma to Echa. Remember last year I told you guys I was talking about a Rebbe's. Were you in a course then?
I
was talking about how a Rebbe has to fit into a pasuk, and I have to know the main idea of the pasuk in the other. Were you there?
I wasn't
paying attention. Yeah. Well, anyways, I went through that. So remember what we said over there. If you take a look at the Ebn Ezra, he says it in the Hakdama Te'echa. That's where it says. Over the summer, I was learning this. It says exactly the way that everything in Chazal has to fit. If you think it's just added extra things, then you don't understand what the basic idea of the pasuk is. It's, of course, it's an adornment to the pasuk, but it has to do with the main idea of the pasuk. The way many people learn, it comes out that all these things are bigger than the pasuk. It's like it's like a submarine. You know, another submarine. What are you talking about? It's 7 times big. You know. A little thing like this on top, and then they go, and they go, and it's, I can't be the way. So, what does it mean? It means the sun rises and the sun sets.
And
to its place, it is drawn to shine there. Okay? So, what does it mean?
Alright. Sunset. And
sun rises and sets.
Sun rises and sets. It to its, I get the word. What's the word for it?
The El Makoma, to his place, Shoeif, it desires, it is drawn. Shifa means a desire. Drawn. Like a magnet. Traction. It is drawn to shine there again. That's what it means.
Oh no, it's the place that Sean did the day before.
Yeah, it's the same place that Sean did the day before. What's that? What does it show you? What does it tell you? Look at that rest of the world. Look at that. The muscle in the nimshal. Correct? The muscle is there, right? What's the nimshal?
You get a better action out of it.
Sure.